Jim, thank you for being here and being a part of this service that we're having today. I only have one announcement. As we will have the Lord's Supper tonight. First time that we have been able to do that in several months. And so we have a way to do that that'll keep you safe. The bread and the juice is individually wrapped, and so each one will get their own deal. That's going to be a little bit different, but we'll be able to do that without us handling those things. But we hope you can come and be a part of that. Of course, that's our regular service time at 6 o'clock, and we would sure love to have you for that. Today we have the Gideons are going to bring the presentation, and we normally have them in September. Or August, but we're running late on a lot of stuff, but we're glad they're here today, and Brother Bob Perkins is with us to bring the message. And we're thankful for that, and we're thankful that you're with us today. Let me lead us in a word of prayer, and we'll continue to worship. Our Father, we come before your throne of grace and mercy, and Lord, we honor you today. We praise you. We lift you up. I thank you for my salvation, for you changing my life. Lord, I thank you for the blood. Thank you, Lord, that you offer redemption to lost humanity. Lord, help us to worship you with all of our hearts today. Lord, help us to move those things aside that might have our attention. Something might be on our mind that's controlling what we think today. We pray that would be moved out of the way. And Lord, that your Spirit would just speak to our hearts through the message, through the songs and prayers, and that your will be done in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All righty. Well, this is the first Sunday of October, believe it or not. And so we're going to honor our birthdays and anniversaries. So if you have a birthday, you know what to do. Come on up to the front. One, two. Happy birthday to you. I know there's at least one. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary. All right, give him a big hand. All right, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Let's all stand if it's convenient. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. One, two, three, four.
What can wash away?
is fairer than day. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father makes over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet Revelations 12:11 says they will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The song's called Overcome.
Sending us out, light in the
Members, you remember this? It's called He Is Worthy. And so if you can see the words in the parentheses, I need you to repeat that really loud. So do you feel the world is broken? We do. Sort of like that. And then you'll sing the chorus with me. We'll do this again for a couple of Sundays, but this is a great song. Is He Worthy?
Does Jesus our Messiah?
involved in children's church, you can take charge of the troops right now. All right. Thank y'all. We have a privilege today of having the Gideons to come and share the message with us. And Brother Bob Perkins is with us to do that today. And Bob, if you'll come now and share with us, we're ready.
I hope I've got this mic fixed properly. Can you hear me? My name is Bob Perkins, and I'm from America. And you're getting ready to meet Fernando, who is from Mexico City. We're going to take a trip today to Mexico City. The reason for showing you this video is that most people know the Gideons as the people that, the men that leave Bibles in motel rooms. Well, that's us. But that's only 8% of the Bibles that we distribute each year. The year before, this last year was not a normal year for sure. The year before, we distributed 300,000 Gideons in 200 different countries, distributed 90 million copies of God's Word. Most of those were testaments like this. Only 8% were those Bibles left in a motel room. The rest of them were Gideons traveling to countries where most other people won't go and giving people a testament of the Lord Jesus Christ. Witnessing to them when we have the opportunity, because most of them will never own a Bible in their lives unless we continue to speak in the churches in America. The churches in America give to the ministry. We 100% of your contributions goes to the printing and placement of these Gideons, and we become of these testaments, and we become your feet and your hands in distributing to the people around the world. So the Gideons learned something 121 years ago. That was when Brother Lanny was only about 12 years old. Okay, but at that time, we figured out that we can't do this ministry by ourselves. First of all, the Gideon ministry is all about the church. If you fill out an application to become a Gideon, the first person that's going to be contacted is going to be Brother Lanny, because International is going to call and ask him if you are this person that you say you are on this application. So you have to be pastor approved to be a Gideon. You also have to be a church member in good standing in your church. So these are the qualifications: a born-again Christian business and or professional man that has a burden for lost souls. That's our sole description. There is no other. I'm going to see if I can point it at this little jobby right here and see if it'll move it. Am I doing this right? There we go. Okay. That's a gentleman some of you may have just met today. I was in Centerton, Northwest Airport of Arkansas, and leaving there to fly to Dallas on the way to Mexico City. That is Dallas-Fort Worth Airport there. The only reason I took that picture is because so many times wearing our emblem is an open opportunity for us to get to witness to people. When I got there, I had a two-hour layover in Dallas, so I did the what all Gideons do when they're on one of these trips. And that's, I went to the McDonald's in the airport, okay? That's where we hang out. We do big business there. and I was sitting at this counter, and a husband and wife were sitting over here eating a meal, and he said, "You're a Gideon." And I said, "I am. How did you know?" And he said, "Well, you got your little pin." He called it a pin. He said, "You got your little pin on." And he said, "We're from North Carolina, and we got a neighbor that's a Gideon." And he said, "He is so proud of being a Gideon." He said, "I think he puts his pin on his pajamas at night." So when they finished their cheeseburger and left, a gentleman sitting just down the road, down the aisle from him, came over and he said, "Tell me more about the Gideons." I couldn't help but understand, to overhear. And he said, "I want to know, I'm curious where you're going." I said, "Well, I'm going to Mexico City." And he said, "Well, that's where I was born and raised." And he said, "So you guys, I've seen your Bibles in motels all over the world." But he said, "I didn't know you went out and distributed individual testaments to individuals." And I said, "Yeah, that's the biggest part of our ministry." And so one thing led to another. And as you're probably well aware, the last two pages in this little book is the Roman road. And so he and I began to visit about where this would lead him. And that gentleman, Jose Ernesto Diaz Bazan, they got more middle names, prayed to receive Christ in McDonald's. Church, that's what Gideons do. You know a lot of people in our society now that carry. You know, they're prepared, they're armed. Well, so are Gideons, except we're armed with these testaments and not necessarily a 9mm, okay? So this is what happens when you see somebody and they've got this emblem on. He's probably got a Bible on him somewhere. That is a picture of that little stream. It looks like a stream. That's a highway. That's the countryside around Mexico City. How many have ever been to Mexico City? Okay. Two of us. But that's the way the countryside looks. It's Mexico City is built in the mountains. It's kind of in a little bowl-shaped area, except it's not so little. Wrap your head around this. There are over 20 million people that live in the city limits of Mexico City. 20 million. And most of them are Catholic. Most of them don't even like our Bible because it's not like theirs. So we don't miss any opportunities we can have to witness to people when the Lord makes a divine appointment. This is, hello, there we go. That's just a picture of the airport when I got to Mexico. So I took the picture because of the number of people. 20 million people are crowded in any city. And I was never without just being surrounded by a mass of people. And, you know, if your burden for people is the fact that you want them to spend eternity in heaven, it is innumerable number of people. And you can't help but wonder, I wonder if he knows Jesus. I wonder if she's saved, you know. The only way, I don't speak Spanish, okay? And this room tells me I don't do real good with English. the way I found, when I got there was this little dude about this big, and he had a big old sign stuck way up in there, and it said, "Perkins." and it had a Gideon emblem on it. So I knew that guy was here for me, and that's how I hooked up with the rest of it. Because what happens, on this particular distribution, it was just for 1 week. Most of the time we go on 2 week, but the Gideons now have distributions going on 24/7, 365. We've got distributions going on. If you take that 90 million Bibles that were distributed year before last, that is one every second, every heartbeat. There's three Gideons somewhere handing a Bible to somebody 365 days out of the year. That's who we are. That's what we do. And so 10 of us from different countries flew to Mexico City and met local Gideons there, because we have Gideons in 200 different countries, and began to distribute Bibles. I've had the privilege to be in Bangladesh. That's East Asia, a neighbor to India. And we led, we distributed 300,000 testaments to school children in 10 days. So that means we don't spend too much time in the hotel. We're out at schools. I've been to Ecuador. We distributed 400,000 in 2 weeks in Ecuador to school children. We try to catch them in school, because they're next year's generation of leaders in that particular country. I've had the privilege to go to Tanzania, East Africa, and we distributed Bibles to 365,000 Muslim students. Muslim. And not one student ever turned away. Not one ever refused a testament. I had a headmaster tell me one time out in the Serengeti Plains, he said, "We don't have any books in our school." And he said, "We're going to teach our children now this book." And I thought, "Well, sir, you don't understand that those are not going to be good little Muslim students very long if you read to them out of this book." We distribute Bibles in over 100 languages. So we've got Swahili covered in Africa. We've got Spanish covered in much of the world. We've got people that go continuously to do that. This is the hotel in Mexico City. We stay in the nicest hotel in the city where we are. The only problem is we're only in it about 6 hours a day, because the rest of the time we're busy putting God's word in somebody's hand. There we go. I don't know if you can see that. It's kind of, the lighting's not real good, but consider traveling, driving in the traffic of 20 million people. They tell us that any time, day or night, 24 hours a day, there's at least 5 million vehicles on the streets of Mexico City. Unbelievable. We had, I think, guys from like 7 different southern states on this trip. And one of the locals asked us, we've got 20 million people in our city. Do y'all have any cities that big? And we told them, said, all of our states together aren't as populated as your one city is. Can you see that? That's traffic. That's a normal traffic during the day. They say that the speed limit is about 40 kilometers an hour. There is no way we could walk faster than we could drive in this kind of traffic. It's just unbelievable. Humanity everywhere. Well, hello. I'm not getting any action here. Oh, there we go. Are y'all doing that, or am I? This is a parade that's going on. And you could see the kind of stuff that that goes on in the city. I don't know what they were worshiping. I don't know what it was about, but I know it doesn't look much like Jesus, does it? So, you know, every place I've ever been, four continents, people are very religious. Everybody worships something or somebody. The problem is very few worship Jesus. And in Spanish countries, it's more about Mary than it is Jesus. And guys, Mary's just not going to get us there. But the Son will. That's one of the cathedrals. It's very ornate. One of the church houses there, and I don't know how many it would seat, but it is so crowded that in many streets, they don't drive down the streets anymore. You have to get out, park your car, and walk because there's so many, such a mass of humanity, you can't drive a car. So they end up walking more than they intended, I think. That's some of the leaders in our, that's leading. The gentleman standing there was our team leader from Nashville, Tennessee. That's international headquarters. The gentleman to his right was the regional director for Mexico, and the one to his left was the director of all of Spanish activities in South America. So they have big jobs. When you go on one of these trips, you have to be a qualified speaker to do it, because the first thing you're going to do is get in on Saturday night, and then you're going to speak in churches on Sunday morning. And that provides some real entertainment when you get 20 minutes, Brother Lanny, in a third world country, and 10's for you and 10's for the translator, okay? And sometimes, you know, they're used to translating English. They don't always translate Arkansas, you know. So it can be. But that's the First Christian Church where I spoke on the first Sunday. There's graffiti on everything. Every window, every door is barred to keep the bad guys out. And I did not know this, but it was more dangerous in Mexico than any of those other places I've been. We never went to a school distribution that we didn't hear gunfire. And they also pop firecrackers about it. That's the way they celebrate. So every time something would start going off, I'd look to my team and see if they were loading up Bibles, then I knew it's time to go. And if they weren't, then it was somebody celebrating something with firecrackers. So I never knew. But every once in a while, I'd feel this little tug at my arm, and I'd look, and they're waiting on me because they're getting ready to leave. We carry, but we don't carry guns. So this is the little church. That gentleman down in your lower left there, that was the pastor. And Lanny, he was getting down with the guitar. He's part of the church praise team, and that's me bringing a Gideon report, and that's my little translator. That was an interesting story. They had given me this little guy, and you will notice in these pictures, we look huge compared to the rest of the world. People do not eat as good as we do. People do not have health services like we have, and we're huge people compared to other people. But this, my little, he was tickled to death that we were just like 3 months difference in our age. But he quit growing along the way, and I didn't. But he spoke about as much English as I speak Spanish, and I thought, boy, this is going to be something. Well, we were so tickled while we were sitting there during the song service. There was a commotion behind us, and I turned and looked, and there's another one of our Gideons with his translator, that gentleman right there. And I asked him, what you're doing here? And he said, well, our church service don't start for an hour, and it's just down the street. We want to stop and hear what you had to say. And so my translator asked his, he said, would you like to translate for me? And so he provided a guy that spoke better English than I do. Okay, so the Lord took care of that situation. That's the church as we were singing. And I don't know if you can see the lady with her hand up here in the front with the scarves on. That lady right behind her that you can see, that happened to be the pastor's sister. And she spoke excellent English. And so when that team left and took my translator, the pastor came and told me through a translator that his sister said she'd be glad to translate for me. And so the Lord provided me the two translators I needed for that day. That's me bringing the message, and that's her translating for me. That's a dinner meeting afterwards. My partner and I had different churches, and then we met together for lunch to get to know each other, and had interpreters sitting around to help us out. That's clear up here. You see Gideon's on their knees. We've been doing this since 1899. And the first thing we learned was the fact that we can't do the job that God gave us without putting it back in his hands. So he'll do it. So that's 4:30 every morning. We met and had prayer together. And then in going through the cafeteria that wasn't open yet, we would grab a banana or whatever and head out toward the schools, because school does not start at 8:15 in the rest of the world. Okay, it starts about 6. So we had to be at the gates and the walls, and everything's gated and walled in Mexico to keep the bad guys out and the good kids in. And we had to be ready by 5:30 because people started arriving about that time. It is so crowded, there's no place to build any more school buildings. So what they do is have 8-hour shifts. So a faculty and student body would be in school for 8 hours, and then when they left through the gates, a new student body and a different faculty would come in and have school, and they did 3 sets of that a day. So school goes on 24/7. And we got to figuring out who was going and who was coming, and so we'd be at the gates, and we were handing out Bibles right and left. That's how you do in this. We were there 5 days, Monday through Friday, and we distributed 191,000 testaments. And the way that happens is you find the busiest place there is, and you just hand them out, people going in, people leaving. It doesn't matter. They're all students. That was 5:30 in the morning. We're at the gate, and we're setting up and getting ready for the students to arrive. That's the ladies, auxiliary wives, and they were so clever. They had those bags, and in those bags were Bibles, hospital Bibles, and they went into 19 hospitals in the week that we were there and distributed 20,000 hospital Bibles, laying them next to the beds in those. But all the hospitals are government-owned, so when some government official would find out what we were doing, then they would, you know, stop those ladies and tell them, you can't do that in here. This is government-owned. So they would all leave and go out to their cars and empty all the Bibles. They would add more Bibles to their bags, and they had stayed up all night cooking hot bread. So they had hot bread, and they put the bread on top of the Bibles. And then they went back in and told them that they were here to distribute bread. Well, they just let them right back in the door. And so they distributed bread, and they distributed the bread of life So nothing stopped them. That's how they got 20,000 Bibles distributed in 5 days. There's a gate and the walls that you see. Everything there is gated and got concertina wire and razor wire on top of the walls to keep people out. That's us catching college students as they come and go. Those two particular local Gideons right there became Poncho and Cisco, okay, just so I could remember their names. And I taught them a little English. By the end of the week, every time they'd see a policeman, they'd say, coffee and donut, coffee and donut. So we taught them about law enforcement. That's him right there. Two nut jobs, if there ever was. But they were so serious about witnessing to their children. That's me just catching a latecomer going in for class. She was already late. That is the largest school system in Mexico City. 500,000 students in one school system spread all over creation. And I used to attempt to say that name, but I don't anymore. That's a little girl, if you can see her in the shadows of that tree. So many times we will hand one to somebody and be off over here and look back an hour later, and they're still sitting in the shade reading that book. Something we take for granted. Our kids would not come, would not cross the street for another Bible. The rest of the world is starving for what we got. God has blessed us beyond anybody else that's ever been on this planet. And he tells us to share the most valuable thing we got. You know what's the most valuable thing we got? God's Word. The rest of the world is hungry for what we take for granted. Hello. There we go. That's one of our Bible mobiles. We had semis setting all over the city. And when we'd run, we could get about 1,500 Bibles on some vehicle, and we'd distribute them till we ran out, and then we'd go find the nearest semi and load up again and go to the next school. There we go. Just to show you the razor wire on top of the wall. That's Fernando. He was my partner a number of days, and he's witnessing to two college students that he'd given a Bible to. That's Honorio, who owned a business in town, a candy store. And he closed his business down the entire week so he wouldn't miss anything we're doing. And I know those men couldn't afford to do that, but they did it. That little guy there in the white cap is Carlos. And he would get so excited about handing students Bibles that he would start going to meet them instead of letting them come to him. And before he could get about a block away, one of us would have to go get him and bring him back. It wasn't too safe to get away from the crowd. There's a lot of people don't like what Gideons do. And so if you've got a list in your church of missionaries, make sure the Gideons are on it. We go to places that aren't safe, but that's where many lost people are. Graffiti on everything. Those guys love this. They pulled a joke on me. I had trouble getting in and out of their cars. I don't fold up real good. And so Fernando said, well, I'll bring a car tomorrow that'll be just what you need. And he brings a bug. Well, you should have seen me trying to get in and out of that vehicle, but they thought that was funny. Just some sights. That's if you skip school and the Gideon's around, you're going to find Jesus because they're going to grab you and tell you about him. This is interesting. This is what downtown looks like. Those are bars in front of those open stores. And the reason the bars are there is because in the old days, a car would pull up in front of a store, and get out, and gunmen would just kill everybody in the store and just steal what they want and drive off. So now they put bars up in those stores, and there's no use in killing everybody in the store now because you can't get in to steal. So it's actually the best protection that they had. There's an example. We were eating breakfast one morning, and that little dude said something, and they all just laughed. And I said, okay, somebody tell me what he said. And one of them said, well, he said he wanted his picture taken with a fully grown American. Well, that's a fully grown American there, and so he got his wish. Oh, a butcher. You can't hardly tell he's got a cleaver, meat cleaver in his hand. And so I, needless to say, asked permission before I took the picture. That's Mary there in the center of that, the Virgin Mary. She is the center of all religious attention in Spanish-speaking countries that I've been to. These girls skipped school one day and met Carlos and then met Jesus. So there's a little shrine on one of the corners in Mexico City. And that's what it looked like. Mexico City looks like from our eighth floor in my motel room. They're building up the sides of the mountains now because there's no other space to build. That's one of the teams. And it says 11 o'clock, so I'm going to hurry through here. That is breakfast. They tried to get me to eat breakfast with them every morning, and I told them, in America, we eat a different part of the cow. I think I'll pass. And so that's a Bible mobile, and that's one of the taxis that Poncho owned, and he just stopped his business That's a young man that got a Bible up in a tree. I was handing out Bibles, and something moved up here, and there's a kid up in the tree. So I just handed him a Bible and kept on going. We left about an hour and a half later, and he was still up in that tree reading the Bible. And that's a street vendor selling ice cream. I think all of his ice cream melted while he read the Bible. Oh. Where are you? There we go. The ladies, auxiliary ladies, wives of Gideons. That's one of our teams getting ready to distribute early in the morning. And that's right after distribution. That was the closest that I ate that breakfast. It looked more like bacon and eggs than anything else they offered. So I ate with them that morning. That's our team. The young man on the far left was from Germany. The older gentleman in front of me was from England, and the rest of us were from Arkansas and Georgia and Florida and the South. And that young gentleman asked me, he said, Brother Bob, he said, how do you get to do this all the time? And I said, well, I don't know how it works in Germany, but you let your leaders know that you're willing to go anytime, and I said, they'll keep you busy. This is at our pastor's banquet that our pastors, every Gideon camp in the world, there's 12,000 of them around the world in those 200 countries, and we have a pastor's appreciation banquet every year to thank our pastors, because we have no ministry without the pastor in the church. You are that valuable. That auxiliary ladies, and I want you to know that was a big event. When we go on these trips, we pay our own way, and we send in an extra $500 apiece to pay for a pastor's banquet, because those people would never have enough money to ever get to experience something like that. And that was a big deal. That is us leaving. A picture out my plane window. Mexico City, as far as you can see. Those are homes and businesses. It's just an unbelievable place. And I don't know if you can tell for sure, but one of those peaks, there are active volcanoes still. And there was smoke coming out of one of them, so we thought leaving was a really good idea at that time. and that is a picture. This really doesn't have anything specifically to do with Mexico City, but it has everything to do with the Gideon ministry. It says, Pulitzer Prize-winning photo taken in 1994 during the Sudan famine. The picture depicts a famine-stricken child crawling toward a United Nations food camp located a kilometer away. The vulture is simply waiting for the child to die. This picture shocked the whole world. Nobody knows what happened to the child, including the photographer Kevin Carter, who left the place as soon as the photograph was taken. They were in a rush and he had to be somewhere else. He took that picture and they all just left the child in that condition. It says 3 months later, Kevin Carter committed suicide due to depression. Guys, when you give to the Gideon ministry, we don't leave anybody behind. If we have to distribute 30, 40, 50,000 testaments a day for as long as we're there, that's what we do. And then we promise anybody that didn't get one, you stay in school because there's going to be a Gideon come next year and bring you yours. And church, that only happens if we continue to join with you and be one of your outreaches. This is what Gideons do. It's all about Jesus and lost souls. And you as the church furnish the Bibles. We become your feet and your hands. And we go to there's not but 225 countries in the world. We're in 200 of them, shooting for the other 25 as fast as we can. So I thank you for what you do, and I thank you for letting us be part of your ministry at Osage Baptist. And Lanny, I'll just turn it back to you. Thank you, and God bless you.
Okay. Come and help us. The Gideons will be standing at the exit doors, one of them at the gym door and the other here in the auditorium door to receive your gift as you leave. If you would like to make a contribution to the Gideons, and if you are not prepared to do that today, but you would like to make a contribution to the Gideon work, you'd be able to do that through our church, or just let us know, myself or Mike Dishroon or Pam, and we'll make sure that it gets in the right spot. Let's stand together. I'm going to stand behind the pulpit because I didn't put the microphone on to talk to you just a little bit. Ask you if you know Christ as your Savior. If you've been born again, you've trusted Him as your Savior. And if you haven't, that you might do that today, that you might receive Him today as your Savior. Those of you that are in the gym, I want to urge you, if you're here and lost, if you do not know Christ, that this would be the day of salvation for you. Would you choose Him as your Savior today? Or to become a part of this fellowship, if you've decided to do that, we want to give you that opportunity. I want to lead you in the sinner's prayer, we call it, to receive Christ as your Savior. And then I'm going to be here at the front. Mike's going to lead us in an invitational hymn, and that'll conclude our service. If you're not a Christian, would you pray this prayer with me right now? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like to talk to you if you prayed that prayer and asked Jesus into your heart. We've had an opportunity to do that several times in the last few weeks where folks have told us that they did pray that prayer. And I'll be here at the front if you'd like to talk to me. And Mike's going to lead us in a verse of invitational hymn. And when Mike finishes, that'll conclude our service.
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Does thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood.